Welcome, everybody, to the fourth episode of Season 3 of Voices from the Grid, where we will be discussing what is essentially the same episode twice. We will be discussing Wizard for a Day and Fourth Down and Long. And who is we ask? Well, first, we have my co-host, Sasha, our Red Ranger. Say hello.
Hello, everyone.
And then we have me. My name is Ben Taylor. I am the Black Ranger for this season. And in 2008, I was voted England's handsomest man, which is good for me, but a real kick in the teeth for England.
By whom?
By myself.
Ah, thank you. like, I want to see the results of that poll. Who came in second?
Me.
Yeah, of course.
So I was first, second, third, and fourth. It's what super ego id and whatever the other one is. Anyway, I'm hosting today, and for some reason I keep getting stuck with all the Rocky centric episodes
because you really enjoyed Rocky just wants to have fun, and we couldn't let you suffer through this alone, so I ended up in here. I don't know,
I feel like we've done something to offend the others, where they're like, no, you get all the Rocky episodes. It's fine.
You know, I forgot that Rocky existed for most of last season. So I feel like I was due for some Rocky episodes.
I'm not sure he does exist. Right? Anyway, so first up, we have the episode that is for some reason titled Wizard for a Day, even though nobody in this episode becomes a wizard.
Yeah, why is it called Wizard for a Day? Where's Mike with his IMDb trivia?
I think they think the monster is a wizard, even though he's talking about science class.
But he has beakers!
Yeah, yeah.
They weren't like little potion bottles like Rita has. They're beakers!
They're full-on science vials. Yeah. Like, they're even collected in like a... Okay, I need to get this out of the way right now, because otherwise I'm going to be saying a lot over the next 45 minutes or so. I need to get this out of the way, and this applies to both episodes that we are covering today. That is not how science works. It's not. No, it's bad.
It's funny. It's funny you say that, because as soon as I saw them being turned into beakers, I thought of you and I said, oh, that's not how science works. I had my own, that's not how science works. But this is such a bizarre episode. First of all, since when is Rocky into chemistry? That sounds like a Billy thing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, there's so many like little idiosyncrasies in this episode. Like, right at the beginning, you've got Tommy and Billy doing martial arts, right? And then they're like, oh, let's go break some bricks or boards, I think it is. Mm-hmm. And Adam stood there and he's like, yeah, only real trained people can do this. I'm like Billy hasn't been fighting putties for like 3 years now. He hasn't proven himself yet. Why is he still taking classes?
I mean, you always want to take classes and improve yourself. Like, you don't exactly you don't go from like a white belt to a black belt in the span of 2 years, but like... Yeah. But yeah, I feel like they sort of forgot that Billy's the science-y person in the show. And they're like, oh, we don't need to give him any more character development. He doesn't wear glasses anymore. That's fine. Yeah. That doesn't
He's
count.
Hot now. Like
point of order here from the girl in the room. He was always hot. Just saying.
Right. I'm gonna point out, I've been saying that since season one. I'm like, have you seen him with his shirt off? Right. But he's now like TV hot because he doesn't wear the glasses anymore,
and right? They have him in like tank tops more, yeah, instead of like the overalls.
Yeah. And then they pick Rocky to be the science teacher for the day,
but
right?
hold on, can we just get to that? I just have a question. So Angel Grove introduces this Teacher for a Day program, right, where the teacher and the student swap places, which in some respect is a pretty brilliant idea, right?
Yeah.
But the only two people that we see participating in this is the teacher and Rocky.
Yeah.
So, like, is this like a once a week? Like, is this like a program that they're the only two participants in? Because that's not a great program if you only have one teacher and one student that volunteers.
If it's anything like the stuff I did that was similar, because we never did like teacher for a day or whatever, but you'd have one person per school year doing it. And it would happen like once every like other month or whatever.
Right? So doing what exactly though?
So like when we did it, right, in my school, it was like, you'd be like, what is the equivalent of an American, like, what's the name of the people that check hall passes and stuff?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Hall monitor. Hall monitor.
In England, we don't have those, right?
Mm-hmm. We just have head boys and head girls and stuff.
Well, we have prefects and that kind of thing. But the people who would monitor the halls while everyone else was in classes were the teachers that weren't teaching at that time.
Right? Makes sense.
So you'd get like be hall monitor for a day, or like you get to plan something for a day, or like it's all this weird stuff, but it would only be like one person per year, per school year. So like a 10th year, an 11th year, a 12th year, and a third, and like a senior would all be doing it at once. But you'd only have like four people in the whole school doing it at any time. But it would only apply to school. The moment you went outside of school, you were back to being a teenager again. Quite unlike Mr. Whatever His Face Is, who dresses like Rocky like all day.
Also,
and then goes and hangs out at the youth center, which is kind of weird and creepy.
Very creepy. And also I find it weird that this whole announcement happened at the juice bar and not at school.
Yeah. The Power Rangers has this habit of having things that should only affect the Rangers' lives at school, like flow over into the real world. Like when Aisha was named Angel Grove High Fire Marshal or whatever in season 2. And she goes absolutely psycho and starts checking on like Ernie's status in the kitchens and making them hang up stuff at the library. And it's like, I wish my school could give me that kind of power.
Right? Like, does this pay? But I find the choice of teacher really interesting though, because they present him as this very like no nonsense, like very strict teacher that they call Sir.
Yeah.
What was his name? Mr. Littman or something?
Whitman.
Whitman, Littman. Yeah. No, he's
you don't have to call your teacher Sir.
No.
Okay. In England it was Sir and Miss.
No, it's just Mr. Whatever. Okay. I mean, you could say Sir or Miss, like, if you just, like, forgot the teacher's name.
Yeah.
But, like, there's no requirement. There's no pressure. There's no requirement of any kind or, like, a learning tool to say, like, you have to call your teacher Sir. Similarly, in Russia, you just called your teachers by their first name and their patrilineal name, not even their last name. Because it's a sign of respect.
Yeah.
So Rocky's also like teaching chemistry. I still can't get over that, but go for it.
Rocky, of all the Rangers to pick, Rocky.
Yeah.
The Ranger that you'll most expect people to have to talk very slowly and explain in small words to, right? Like Rocky isn't the brightest bulb in the bunch, right?
Yep.
And this is the reason why this show is PG-13 is because I can't say all the things I want to call Rocky right now. But let's be very fair. Rocky is not the smartest of the Rangers.
By far.
In fact, I would go so far as to say he is the Ranger's meathead. Right? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Which I might be why he got chosen. To be like,
because they're like, we need to give him something to do other than hit things.
Yeah. But like, well, I'm talking about like from school's perspective, right? The school might have chosen Rocky because they're like, oh, well, if we give him this, then he'll try harder or whatever. But we already hear that the Rangers always get good grades anyway. So it's like...
Yeah, the one thing I'll give it is that at least, like, Rocky seemed to be excited about it. He was, he says something about, like, yeah, it could be a really cool opportunity, and, like...
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I can't really picture Rocky as a teacher, but, you know, you can give it a try.
And then they cut to him in the classroom, right? After Bulk and Skull have done the thing where they take the teacher's additions, which we'll get to later.
Like, at least he took the time to, like, look at the teaching textbooks. Like, that shows dedication.
Yeah. But, like, they cut to the classroom, and he's there, and he's not sure if he should mix these two things together. But in front of him is a full-on set of, like, colored liquids and vials running up and down tubes. And I'm like, how did that happen if he doesn't know how to mix those two together?
Well, he knew how to get started, and then he sort of got lost along the way.
Yeah.
And he forgot if he was supposed to put the mixture in the blue liquid or the pink liquid.
Which I don't know.
But you know, Mr. Whitman also had some trouble fitting in with the kids of the youth.
That was probably my favorite part of the whole episode, when the teacher got sent to the principal's office.
That was funny.
It was just that is the one thing I will give this episode, is they did show that it was lopsided on both sides of the coin, right?
The only thing is like, I wish we'd gotten, like, a little bit of a preview of this teacher and who he is before this episode. So yeah, that, like...
Because he actually shows up in the next episode as well.
Exactly.
And, like, it's almost like they're trying to build him to be a thing. And then he's in two episodes, and then he disappears again.
Well, yeah, that's how most teachers are at Angel Grove High. They're there when they're needed, and then they disappear into obscurity, never to be seen or heard from again.
Yeah. I just...
Are we still on the teacher thing, or can we sort
of... We can move on. Like, I know the teach thing is kind of central to the episode.
Yes, but like, let's talk about our new pal, Rito.
Well, let's talk about how the Tengus can't figure out that the teacher is Rocky just because he's dressed like Rocky.
That was the dumbest thing ever. I literally have a note here. Do the Tengus not realize that that's just a dude wearing a red shirt? Like, somebody call the Star Trek convention. We can end this whole thing now.
It's so bad.
It was so funny. And Rocky is literally right there. It's not like he's far away and they just attack a dude in a red shirt because they don't see Rocky. He's literally right there.
Like, Rocky's like 6 feet down the road.
It's just so ridiculous.
But yet, one of the highlights of season three, for me personally, is Rito. So go for it.
Interesting, because he, and you know, we've talked about this in the Ninja Encounter. He comes out pretty strong, but he's got this sort of buffoonish attitude about him that is, and he's really forgetful, and it's kind of funny. I think he adds a little bit of levity that Squat and Babu never succeeded at.
Right, yeah, because Squat and Babu were literally just Bulk and Skull.
Yeah.
Right. Rito is a different kind of comedy, right?
Yep.
Rito is just... And his being incredibly deadly when he shows up and then being kind of a comedy figure fits with the same thing with Zed. Rita ended up the same way, right? And then when they all come together, they kind of are the best when they're together, right? Which we'll get to when we talk about Alien Rangers. But I like Rito. He's probably my favorite Mighty Morphin villain in any form.
He's fun.
Which is why I like him.
And I like the dynamic that he has between Zed and Rita, because Rita has this attitude of like, oh my God, I cannot believe I'm somehow related to this person genetically.
Yeah.
But Zed's relationship with him is very clear, husband to brother-in-law. And it's played out so well.
It's one of the highlights of season three. Like,
I am enjoying him. I also got to give him credit here because he ends up turning a person into a monster, essentially. Mm-hmm. And that's
by accident.
But a happy, like, that's like from a super villain move. Like, that's actually a pretty interesting idea.
Yeah. The other thing I really like about Rito is he never gets Zed's name right. He's always calling him Ed.
Yep. I wonder, he has to do it on purpose. It's totally on purpose.
Or he's just that stupid.
Also, exactly, I'm going to say this every episode probably, but Tenga music is awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. I just want to listen to that on repeat. I don't even care about the Tengas. Just like, give me a blank screen with just the music. I'll be fine. I can figure it out myself.
The whole, and I've gone on record saying this in like God knows how many episodes before now, but the Ninja Rangers are when they're in their ninja forms, they're probably my favorite sequences in Mighty Morphin. Like, they're just so different to anything else you see when they're actually using ninja powers, like the disappearance and all that kind of stuff.
It's just cool because it worked in really well within the martial arts, so it doesn't feel like it's random.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like the Tower of Doom spot they do in like the first episode where like Kimberly and Zach like hang off of Jason and they spin the circle. Just
less than about that the better.
So the monster shows up. Mr. Whitman is turned into a monster by Rito. Oh, we should have mentioned Rito has petitioned because there is like science teacher for a day. Rito wants to be boss for a day, right? So he's coming up with all the plans. So he's got Zed's staff and he goes to shoot it at the Power Rangers, but has the Zed pointed behind him and shoots Mr. Whitman and turns him into a monster, right? Just so we know where we stand at this point. Yep. And it turns out that the monster can shoot beams out of his hands and turn the Power Rangers into small vials of chemicals.
Color-coded vials of chemicals.
Color-coded vials of chemicals.
Very important.
And the first time it happens, I think it's
Aisha and Billy.
Aisha and Billy that get shot. And these vials appear on the floor. And Rocky's like, oh no, those could be noxious chemicals. We better cover our faceplates. Even though the helmets are completely enclosed.
Yep.
And I would like to point out, the bottles have stoppers in them.
Well, you can't have the liquid falling out. Who knows what that'll do to the ecosystem?
Yeah, we should cover ourselves from this thing that we're already protected from, and B, isn't going to be a problem anyway.
So I'm just trying to figure that out internally. Like, what are you supposed to cover yourself with? You're wearing a helmet.
Oh, they hold their hands up. They hold their hands up. They hold their hands up with this.
Oh God, but I think one of the issues I also noticed in this episode is like some of the dialogue is just a little bit like, I just wrote awkward. It's just it's weird. And I'm just like, who wrote this up? Like, I know it's filler, but like, who wrote this? This is not, like, it's just, it's awkward. It's weird.
Yeah. And I know they're always trying to promote how you should be good at school and all that kind of stuff. But if I was a small child and I saw this, I would be put off chemistry for life.
Yep.
Right?
Well, I guess it depends on the kind of child, because there's two types of children. The ones that will be put off by this and the other ones that are like, let me make a dinosaur.
Yeah.
So Rocky manages to get all of the vials of his friends and they teleport to the command center, or he teleports to the command center. And I have a note here that's like, this kind of feels like it should have been a Billy episode. Like, it could have been cool to see Billy, because Billy's like, if I remember correctly, Billy's helped like help them study and help them on school projects.
Yeah.
Right. So like Billy being teacher for a day would have been actually pretty cool. But he's always the person that they go to solve puzzles. And this is a heck of a puzzle that like, I would not put in Rocky's hands. I wouldn't put any sharp objects in Rocky's hands, but
Like, I literally have a note here that says, so Rocky, a teenager that couldn't mix two basic chemicals together a couple of hours ago, is now the one saddled with repairing the, bringing these vials of chemicals back to being people. Mm-hmm. Not Billy. No, that would make too much sense. Not Alpha with all of his computers around him. No, he's got no idea what's going on. Gotta be Rocky.
And of course, because this is Power Rangers, we don't really get an explanation of how, of anything. I'm sure there's a very simple explanation.
I was literally about to say that.
That's like my you have your, this, that's not how science works. There's a very simple explanation to which there is no explanation. I wish this would have been like an established character trait.
Yeah.
That like maybe the one subject Rocky's really good at is science, because you get to do stuff. Right. So it's not just like sitting in front of a blackboard or whiteboard and like writing down names and dates or having to read, like, whatever. And we'll see in the next episode, because it's literally the exact same plot, just with footballs, that like Rocky seems to have a passion for chemistry. I'm sure that'll come up again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you might be disappointed.
I'm sure it will be mentioned many times in the future in Zeo.
Yeah, and it'll go the same way as the Zeo crystals did. My next note is about the Zord fight. So the Zord fight, and one of my things that I'm always taking note of is how long the Zord fights are, right? Mm-hmm. Because I remember like Mike and Brian talking about what brought them into Power Rangers were the Zord fights, right? Like, that's one of the big selling points of the episode, right? And I know that the Zords were called at 16 minutes and 25 seconds into the episode. The end of the assembling was 16 minutes and 52 seconds into the episode. Fight ends 17 minutes and 26 seconds.
Not even a minute?
Not even a minute of Zord footage.
Wow. I mean, to be honest, speaking of that, I actually have a note here that the Zords are ugly.
The Zords aren't great, yeah.
I'm not a fan. It feels like a step backwards, and I, you know, this will have come up in our...
when we do the ninja... stuff.
Yeah, but like, still not wowed by the Zords. It's also still ironic that they called the red Zord a gorilla Zord, and they're an ape Zord, and it's not.
It's a person.
Exactly. So,
but it was nice to see that one of the solo Zords separated from the Megazord to fight on its own. Right.
I always love it when the Zords fight together, but not together.
Yeah. And that is the only time, if I remember rightly, at least in like the Zordon era of stuff, that we see a Zord separate from the Megazord to fight on its own. It's definitely the first time we see it in Mighty Morphin.
We have some moments in Turbo, but Turbo's a separate issue altogether because they're cars. Yeah. Yeah.
And then my next note is typical moral nonsense to end the episode.
I mean, I like the fact that they establish Mr. Wilson as like this tough, no-nonsense teacher, and he learns to be a little bit sympathetic to the students that, like, yeah, they do have their own problems, and it's not just going to school and going home. There's like societal pressures and things like that, and it's not like the way things were, you know, in the whenever he was a teenager. So I think Mr. Wilson got more out of this experience than Rocky did.
Yeah,
because
what annoyed me was the Bulk and Skull, really.
Yeah, not a fan of this.
Yeah, I'm not, like, they seem to have regressed a little, right?
Yeah,
and that, I don't know. I talk quite regularly about how Bulk and Skull's evolution, like through the three seasons of Mighty Morphin, is a fairly consistent thing, right? They have stages that they go in. But when they joined the junior police force, they seem to take a step back and they have to work forward again.
I mean, there could be a number of reasons for that. One being that their motivations initially for joining the police force weren't exactly
altruistic. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think for the first few episodes, or for however many episodes this season, they're at least, but they're trying to sort of navigate this new world. And yeah. I think it's so, you know, you take two steps forward in life, you take one step back. So I think this is their one step back for now. And we know where their journey ends. So I'm less bothered, but I'm still annoyed that this was the plot of them accusing a student of stealing teaching textbooks for...
Who was clearly teaching a class.
And like, even without teaching a class, there's nothing wrong with a student carrying books on how to be a teacher.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing that really bothered me wasn't necessarily the whole them accusing him of stealing books or whatever. It was the fact that they, and this is just going to be something that's kind of constant for me, is they've taken a regression back into their slapstick nonsense.
Yeah.
Which they were slowly getting away from towards the end of season two. They took a regression, like, and I think it's because they have to build up how Lieutenant Stone doesn't really like them. And they have to have a bumbling reason for that, that is just bumbling so they can keep being policemen, right? Because if the reason he didn't like them is they were screwing up cases and things, is they wouldn't be policemen anymore. I don't know. Anyway, that's kind of my notes on Wizard for a Day. It's a filler episode of complete awfulness, really.
And it doesn't really develop Rocky's character at all.
No.
But let's talk about Fourth Down and Long, because this might be the most like American Power Ranger episode ever.
Yeah, and as we've brought reference to several times, it's literally the same episode as Wizard for a Day. Stuff happens. There's a monster. It attacks. It turns the Power Rangers into things, leaving Rocky on his own to solve a problem, bring everyone back, and call the Zords. Like, it's the exact same formula again and again and again. And bear in mind, this isn't like three episodes later, five episodes later. This is the very next episode of the season.
Yep.
So bear that in mind.
And it also starts, and it starts with a chemistry class. So at least like we know we didn't miss an episode in between.
It does.
So I'll give this episode credit. I actually, out of the two, if I had to pick the one I like the more, this one was better. Because we sort of build off of what we've established in this previous episode, Rocky and being not terrible at chemistry, which I wrote as attempt at character development feels hollow, but you know, you tried.
Yeah.
And we see the same teacher. So he's still teaching. And we see Rocky and Adam and somebody's in the class with him. I think Aisha was in there too. So we find out that very important character development moment. We find out that Rocky has a famous uncle.
Yes, much like Trini did, who had a famous scientist and martial artist for an uncle. And in this case, surprise, surprise, Rocky's famous uncle is a football player. Because, of course, he is. Let's be honest.
Yeah. So Rocky and this kid, Alan, they're doing an experiment, and Alan's going to read him the notes of like...
I would like to point out, Rocky asks him to read the equation.
Yeah, that was weird. Why would you read...
Not an equation in science, it's a formula.
But even if, you know, forget what you call it, but like, does that happen in chemistry class often? Because I don't remember having to like convert, like calculate and then mix. You got like instructions of like, here's your like, I don't know, your hydrogen peroxide, mix this with that.
I mean, I did a bit of that at school.
Okay.
Like, they would give you a chemical chain. You had to work out how you would break it down and mix it.
Interesting. But, okay, fair. The 90s education. I am a historian, not a chemist, so I don't comment.
Yeah.
Although I just did. Yeah, so he's reading the calculation, the equation, the formula, whatever you want to call it. And something doesn't quite add up because we get a lot of smokiness in the air. And everybody
happened in the previous episode when Rocky mismixed the chemicals.
At least it wasn't Rocky's fault this time. So as I was watching this, literally it says Rocky's going to help Alan because Alan will be suspended from the football team. Yeah. And I said, he's dyslexic. I called it.
Right. I literally have a note here that says, how does a kid get to high school without a single teacher thinking he has a learning disability?
90s, that's how.
Like, even in the 90s, we knew what dyslexia was, right?
Look, I was in a first grade class in Russia with at least two kids who were, you know, retroactively, I can tell we're definitely on the autism spectrum.
Yeah.
Right. Does anybody give a flying hoot? No. Did anybody do anything to help them? Definitely not. Granted, this is Russia, but it's nine. But like, I'm not surprised that a learning disability was not caught until in high school.
I'm incredibly surprised because in England, we were on top of that sort of thing. Like, a lot of my friends. It
also varies. Like, look, let's be real here. Angel Grove does not exactly make Harvard graduates. All right.
I mean, you're not lying, right?
So let's.
When Balkan scholar in the class, dyslexia may not be easy to.
And it could have been that he hit it really well. I've heard stories of people hiding their disabilities and using various tricks and stuff. Or it could just be that, the Angel Grove town education system is such bleh that they don't have qualified teachers that could have spotted this.
Yeah. But that then doesn't explain why Angel Grove High alum do things like a World Peace Conference and go on to the playing global games and, Oh, quick question for you.
Yes.
Why are Goldar and Zed playing football on the moon? Wrong answers only.
Because their television of Star Trek reruns got busted. Because Zed has never heard of the foot or the ball and needed to know how to use it. Because they couldn't punch the Power Rangers, so they had to toss a football.
Also, I have to say this. I'm English. We're doing an episode about football. This isn't football. Football you play with your feet and a round ball. This is not football.
This is American football.
American football.
Yes. Just to kind of give the background, we have two naturalized American citizens here reviewing an episode about football.
Yeah.
Wait till the shenanigans you see in our holiday episode. So this is just but it's funny. But what's also really interesting is that Bulk and Skull are given the job of protecting Rocky's uncle. They are on celebrity duty.
Not like an independent security firm.
Because you think a pro football player would probably have his own security.
Security from the football team, maybe.
Right, or maybe security from the city. You're not management. Just going to ask two high school aged junior police officer to guard somebody who is allegedly important.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? It's Power Rangers. We just talked about the crappy state of the Angel Grove education system. And over the last two seasons, we talked about the crappy state of the government of Angel Grove that has an abandoned warehouse district. So this town does not make sense.
Also, we never actually see. Do we? I don't think we ever actually see many emergency services in Angel Grove. I've never seen an EMT. I've never seen a fireman.
Wait. So when Aisha was fire marshal or whatever, there was no firefighters there?
There was one dude who came to the the school and was giving a lecture on fire safety.
Okay, so there's one firefighter.
But you don't actually see them, like, doing things. And it's part... I'm now twigging why, when I first watched Lightspeed Rescue, why it was so like, oh my God, they're actually helping people, because they never did.
So if I remember correctly, it's been a while and we'll get there. We do see some emergency services in like in space.
Yeah, maybe.
Or maybe it was Turbo. Oh no, it wasn't Turbo.
Anyway,
but
we're getting off topic here. So Finster's made a monster out of clay. In fact, he called it a mold, which made me think he could have made more than one. Which, when it falls on the floor, bonds with Zed's football and becomes a monster without anyone casting a spell or shooting it with a staff. It just happens.
There's a very simple explanation.
And that monster has the ability to throw a football at someone and turn them into a football.
Yep.
I'm wondering, because the whole turning the Rangers into stuff became a thing when we started getting like the Zhu 2 footage, right? It wasn't really a thing before that. And I'm wondering if turning the Rangers into stuff is a way to keep the price down on that footage. Because they don't have to pay actors while they are a football.
I mean, Aisha was basically absent from Wizard for a day, wasn't she?
Okay, so I was going to talk about that in a little bit, but we can talk about that now. I think it's in Wizard for a Day. There's a moment where Zordon's like, I'll call all the Rangers. And he calls all the Rangers but Kim, who's off on her own.
I think that's in Follow That Cab.
No.
Because it's
in my notes.
Okay.
And then in this episode and future episodes, it's Aisha who's off on her own.
Yeah, she's at like the animal hospital or veterinary clinic or something.
And I don't know whether this is at around the time that Karen Ashley was starting to have thoughts about leaving or whatever, but it is very notable that Aisha is not with the crew for a lot of the time.
Yep. And similarly, like with Kimberly as well.
Yeah.
That, you know, in the opening of the fake opening of the season, she was sick, and then there's like something else.
Yeah.
But let's get back to Fourth Down and Long. So basically there's this football, and if the football touches you, you get turned into a football.
Yes, which the Rangers are openly warned about.
And do nothing to avoid.
Now, in fairness, Tommy and Billy were being held by Tangas, but the rest of them just stood there and took it. Stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid.
But the first to fall, however, are not the Rangers.
No, they're not.
It is our future heroes, Bulk and Skull, that deserve a lot of credit in this episode, because Bulk actually puts himself in front of the football player or in front of Uncle Joe, knowing full well that whatever's going to happen is going to hurt him, to protect Uncle Joe, which is why I think Lieutenant Stone sucks.
Well, you won't get any argument from me there. The other thing that's noteworthy, and I just wanted to note this.
Oh my god.
There's a moment where they just randomly put in this line where it's like, oh, and it's nearly cold enough for it to snow. And I'm like, you're in South California.
Right?
Do you know the last time they had snow?
Do they actually know that they're in California, though?
We do know they're in California.
No. We know that. Do the writers know that?
Ah, right. Yeah, fair point. Because I literally have a note here that just says, a snowstorm, full stop. In California, full stop. Huh?
I mean, in Northern California, you can get snow, but not in Southern California.
Yeah.
For sure. Oh, man. And it's still, like, not enough snow to really matter, in my opinion.
Whereas when we get to the Zord fight, it's a full-on blizzard, basically.
Yeah, that was weird. I was like, why the heck is it snowing? That made no sense to me.
Because Sentai footage, I guess.
Look, people, if you're this is one of the issues that I have with Power Rangers using Sentai footage, is that sometimes it just doesn't make sense. Like, I understand why they use the Sentai footage, because you have the footage and you don't want to, like, recreate Zord fights with puppets and whatnot, and it's just easier to use the footage. But, like, at least make a plausible explanation for the snow. Like, maybe Zeta-Rita cast a spell to make it snow to like, mess with the Rangers.
Yeah. And,
like, right? Like, that would have made
magic.
Which, like, Rita has messed with the weather before in using various, like, aliens and whatever. Like, it wouldn't have been that far outside the realm of possibility, but all right. But before that, there's a moment where Zordon is, Rocky goes to talk to Zordon. And for some reason here, I said Zordon is the worst coach in universe.
Yep.
I don't remember what line led to this anymore, but I wrote it down.
Yeah, I also have the note that, like, once again, everything is beholden to Rocky to save the day. Even though Alpha's the one that actually does all the day saving, Rocky's just like, couldn't you use this piece of machinery? But Alpha's the one that does it.
And Ninjor. Ninjor has a brilliant plan. Buckets.
Yeah. Buckets.
I mean, look, I'll give it credit for being one of the dumbest ways to save the Rangers. And it was sort of funny, you know, wow, this is really sad writing kind of way.
Also, Zordon's all like, you must summon Ninjor to help you because only he can do some of the things you will need to bring down this monster. Yep. And all Ninjor does
is hold a bucket.
Is hold a bucket until they get in the Zords.
I didn't even, yep.
Then he does all the work.
Yep. Also, what's really interesting is that I don't know, I'm sure you caught this, is when the Rangers are reconstituted, Tommy says, asks Saba if he's okay.
The thing is, he doesn't ask Saba if he's
or
okay.
Or Saba says
Saba's something. Just like, I'm okay too. And he's like, oh, right? Cool. You're here.
And I'm just like, wait, Saba's still a thing? I completely forgot about
it. This is the first time he speaks since they got the ninja powers.
Which, like, is he even connected to the ninja powers? So how does he...
Because Tommy got him when he first became the White Ranger.
Right, but they don't... So, like, is Saba separate from the powers of the Tiger Ranger or whatever? Because...
I don't know.
There's a very simple explanation.
It's just like, this is the first time he speaks since the ninja powers happened. And it's just like Tommy's forgotten he exists because he's like, oh, I'm okay too. He's like, oh, Saba, cool. I'm like, ah, you exist. And you're on my head.
Saba is still a thing.
Still here.
But yeah. There's one last note that I have here, and it's about the ending of the episode. Because Rocky, so when everything starts going down with the monster and Uncle Joe, Rocky's already on the field. So he should have clearly seen Bulk stand in front of Uncle Joe and to try to protect him.
Yeah.
Right? But at the end of this episode, Lieutenant Stone is berating Bulk and Skull in front of the Rangers.
Yeah.
Right, about how, oh, you screwed up and you're never going to be on celebrity duty again. And they say nothing.
Yeah. Bulk couldn't just turn around and go, well, did he get hurt?
And like, what were Bulk fucking Skull expected to do in front of a monster? It's not like it was just a random fangirl. Like, Lieutenant Stone sucks.
I can't stand Lieutenant Stone. I think he's
worst cop character ever.
I do have one more note I want to talk about. And it's my usual thing with episodes, which is the Zords. The Zords are summoned.
Oh, I forgot they were even in here.
They were summoned at 15 minutes and 15 seconds. And they do the full Zord summoning to pad out the runtime of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
They start to combine at 16 minutes and 1 second.
Okay.
And the fight is over at 17 minutes and 15 seconds.
Wow, 10 whole extra seconds from the last one.
Yep, yep.
And at least it was over a minute, you know?
Once they form the Megazord, right? Once they form the Megazord, you don't see the Megazord again until they do the finishing punch. Everything else in the fight is just the monster and Ninjor.
That's weird. And, like, I really don't pay attention to the early Zord fights just because I can't. They're too clunky and boring. But what was the point of putting the Ranger? What was the point of using the Zords? You could have just, like, made sure that the Rangers were okay and maybe check on Uncle Joe and Belkin Skull and just let Ninjor finish the fight.
Yeah. It was very notable. Because it's like, oh, they're massive now. And then Ninjor goes, oh, I'm going to go into Super Ninjor mode with the red helmet and the turning over face thing. And he does all the fighting, and then the Rangers punch the thing to death. Like, ape punch and other different punch.
Ape punch.
Yeah. Whatever. And then we get the usual moral nonsense at the end of the episode. The Ranger's not stepping up to help Bulkin Skull, and the kids, revealed he has dyslexia.
What?
And or horror.
We didn't see it coming. But this is also where Mr. Whitman's character development comes in, because he tells Alan that, like, he knows some tips to help him, and he says he's going to help him to, like, make sure he doesn't have to, like,
that was Uncle Joe, yeah. Uncle Joe.
Yeah.
Uncle Joe's like, I was dyslexic too.
I saw that coming a mile away too.
Yeah.
But you know, kudos to Mr. Whitman. I like him. He seems to be a much more competent teacher than Miss Applebloom or Applebaum or Apple Shenanigans.
Yeah, Applebee.
Whatever. Okay, let's.
And don't even get me started on Principal Kaplan.
At least he's still around. He was mentioned.
That's true. It's true. It's true. Just that school, man. There's so much wrong with that school. To wrap up.
Yeah.
What do we think of these two episodes overall?
You mean this episode?
Yeah. This episode that we watched twice.
I think Bulkin Skull are the heroes, despite what we said earlier about, like, the wizard for a day felt like a step back.
Yeah.
Here, I think part of it was, like, they weren't sure. I think they misinterpreted Stone's directions, and he also didn't really give good directions, now that I think about it. And part of it is, like, you know, Bulkin Skull took their job very seriously.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, again, Bulk essentially sacrificed himself to try to save Uncle Joe. It didn't work, unfortunately, but the fact that he was willing to take the hit, whatever the result, is really significant.
Yeah, for sure.
Rocky's character development there is no character development. There's nothing. Rocky just gets to science for some reason. Bulk and Skull get the win for these two episodes. Yeah. Beyond that, the rest is irrelevant.
That's kind of.
Oh, and Rito. Rito was fun.
Yeah, because Rito has a hand in the creation of the football monster as well, doesn't he? I don't know. I agree, for the most part, that Bulkin Skull are kind of the, and I think that's kind of the, what's the word I'm looking for? The through line of these early seasons, right? Is, and I've made no bones about this, Bulkin Skull are the only actual human beings in this show.
Yep.
And they actually, their characters develop, their characters change, they metamorphize, they morph, if you will.
Even if the slapstick gets a little old.
Yeah, but that kind of gets worn out of their characters eventually.
Eventually, yes.
Yeah, and I don't know. I just think that while the making them part of the junior police force was a very good idea, knowing what we know is going to happen with Bulk and Skull, right? I think the fact that they had to take a step back to do it annoyed the crap out of me.
Fair.
But that's my summation. So, Sasha, we're at the end of the episode. Where can people find you on the interwebs?
Oh, gosh, that's right. The interwebs. Let's see. You can find me first and foremost at geekgirl101.tumblr.com. You can read all about my paper shenanigans because I'm in grad school and I hate myself. You can also check out my tweets. I am very desperate for quality Jewish representation. Marvel, come talk to me. Come at me. Like, let's talk. Let's have a discussion over at Geeky Kaplan. And that is Kaplan with a K for the greatest superhero in the Marvel Universe, Billy Kaplan. Ben, what about you? Where can the people find you on the social medias?
Find me on the Twitters at Bob T. Goldfish. And you can find me doing the video game thing over at twitch.tv/321_TV with my good friends Jordan and my wife Amy. And you can find this show, Voices from the Grid, on Twitter at VFTG_PR. And you can find all of the other bits relating to the show at thshthockey.com/VFTG. That being said, any final thoughts, Sasha?
There's a lot that needed explaining that we will never get an explanation for.
Yeah. And I will leave you by saying, guys, gals, and non-binary pals, the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other. Party on, gender-specific honorifics. And may the power protect you.